someone will be speaking to him and ask him something, and he'll be like, sure. Mm-hmm. Take 3 seconds to respond with sure. Yep. And it's like, dude, like, I take your time, I guess, but man.
For sure. I said naming your character Driver. No, just... Mm-hmm. I would say don't do that, but I kind of give this movie a pass.
How easy would it be to name him Ronald, or whatever you want to name him? It wouldn't be that tough.
Please, please not Ronald. Ronald. Over Ronald.
Ronald, help, you gotta drive me.
I got the driver. You put this kid behind the wheel, there's nothing he can't do.
Kid, I want you to meet Mr. Bernie Rose.
My hands are a little dirty.
So am I. 2,000 heists a year in this city.
Can't stop thinking about what we can do with all that cash.
They're gonna come looking for me, and they're gonna come for you.
What are you gonna do? Drive. Rated R. Starts September 16th.
Welcome to Show Me the Movies with Justin and Nick, a movie podcast hosted by lifelong cousins slash buddies that digs into movies that mean something to us and our guests. I'm Nick.
I'm Driver.
Justin is in here sitting with his white scorpion jacket and his driving gloves. He's got a toothpick. I'm kind of afraid he's going to stomp my face into red paste. And we are here to talk about Drive.
Drive, baby.
No guests today. This has been one that we knew would be coming. I mean, immediately when we started the pod, I was really...
It's been too long.
Yeah, honestly it has. So Drive, there's gonna be a lot. I texted you yesterday, Justin, and I was like, I have more to say on this movie than maybe any movie we've done so far, because it's just a movie I've watched many, many times. And so I'm going to have to really prioritize what we're going to talk about here. Well, what I'm going to say anyway.
The odds on this being a Nick movie, like if you had never seen this movie and I just pitched this movie to you, like mm-hmm. on its face without casting and stuff, because you love Ryan Gosling. But sure. If I was like, there's this main guy in here. He doesn't have a name. His name's Driver. You're like, okay.
And if you started with that would be a bit of a turnoff.
Yeah. And then I'd be like, he just like drives people around for like car chases and stuff.
Well,
most of the movie.
Then I'm pretty much in.
Yeah. Then you're
in.
I
mean, then I'm in.
Yeah. I guess that's true. I just was thinking about the whole Driver thing. That makes it's funny to me.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I still roll my eyes at that a little bit now, but.
But at least they don't overplay it like Tenet, where he's like, I'm
the protagonist. I'm the protagonist. Yeah.
He just called Driver, but he's never like, hey,
yes,
I'm Driver.
I will say that really helps that it's not a bunch of people like, hey, Driver, get over here, Driver.
Yeah. Driver, because you're the driver.
Yeah, because you drive. That's what you do. He does drive. You gotta give him that. He drives. Yeah.
Yep.
All right.
Sounds like he was just born in a lab. They're like, you are made to drive. That's all you do. Your name's Driver.
Yep. Pretty much. And a little bit of a callback to another movie that you and I have watched together.
Oh, well, now I have a hint on the second one.
We're going to talk about it.
Yeah.
All right. Directed by Nicholas, good name, Winding Refn. All right. Nicholas Winding Refn, an interesting movie maker.
How many of his other movies have you watched?
A lot, actually. Most of them now.
Oh, cool.
At this point.
Did you see Drive and you're like, what's this guy about? I gotta see what he's doing.
Drive was the gateway drug.
Yeah.
For sure. So directed by Nicholas Winding Refn, starring a murderer's row. The cast of this movie is
sneaky
incredible.
Deep.
It is sneaky deep. So Ryan Gosling is Driver. Carey Mulligan is Irene. Oscar Isaac is Standard. Albert Brooks as Bernie Rose, Bryan Cranston as Shannon, Christina Hendricks as Blanche, Ron Perlman as Nino, Kaden Leos as Benicio. This is that kid's only movie.
Oh, wow.
But I just wanted to shout him out in there. But there's a deep bench on this movie. It's great. It's great. So,
wait, did you say Albert Brooks?
Yeah, I did. That?
Okay,
yeah,
good.
I
was going to say, Finding
Albert
Nemo guy.
Brooks. Yeah. So this was released in September of 2011. Budget, an estimated $15 million. Worldwide gross, any guesses?
I will say $35 million.
Ooh, good guess. It made almost $80 million.
Oh, almost good 80. Guess is so off.
Yeah, that is a good guess though. I mean, it's a movie that is talked about in certain circles a lot, but then also a lot of people who don't watch movies would not necessarily know.
If this
it.
Movie comes out today, it's definitely a Neon or an A24 movie.
Oh, I yeah. I mean, Neon would be quite appropriate.
Yeah. True.
Yeah, for sure. So, Justin, when, where, how many times have you seen the movie Drive?
I was trying to remember how many times. I think it's 4 now.
Okay.
I believe we watched it at least once. Wait, when was the first time you watched this movie? In high school?
No, college. Okay. I watched it. Well, I'll get into it.
I was just going to try to recollect because I was like, did we watch this in high school together?
No.
Okay. So we watched it at least once together in college and then like at Taylor. And then I think we watched it again like on a break or a summer break or something like that. And then 2 more times since this time for the podcast and then one like a couple years ago just on my own because it's a cool movie.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. I have probably seen it between 8 and 10 times. I've logged it like 3 or 4 times on Letterboxd, but it's up there for movies that I've seen the most in my life because I do rewatch movies. I don't obsessively rewatch them generally.
You're not a freak about it.
I'm not a freaking weirdo. But this one I watch typically about once a year, and it's been about 10 years since I've seen it, which is wild to think. I was like, oh my gosh.
It's a September movie, which is fitting because your birthday is in September.
It is. Yeah, it is fitting. So I saw it for the first time probably in 2015. 2015, I was probably 18 or 19 years old, and it just kind of blew my mind. The first time I watched it, I don't even know if as I was watching it, I was like, ooh, I like this.
Oh.
But I was like, this gives me a feeling that is different from any movie that I've seen before, and it still does. And it's just killer. It's just killer.
Nick, the name Nick, because you're the main Nick of my life, and the movie Drive are like synonymous with each other now. Like I can't think of one without thinking about the other. I picture this movie on your life mood board, your vision board, whatever you want to call it. Like Nick's like, if I want an aesthetic, I want this movie. Like, what is Nick's movie watching experience like if you never watched this movie? Like, I'm so curious.
I don't know. It probably in some ways very different, but in some ways very similar because I've never seen a movie that has hit me visually and music-wise in the way that this has. And so it's not
and
like I've found
relationally, right? You like the relationship too.
I do. Right? We'll get to that. Okay. We'll get to that. I do. The movie is in so many ways like thin and shallow on things like characters and relationships, and yet all of the characters and relationships work, in my opinion,
yeah,
so well. Okay, so Justin, what feelings other than entertained did you feel while watching this movie?
I felt I don't know if I want to joke about this, so
joke about it. Oh wait, hold on.
Well, I'll just say, I was going to joke about, like, this movie feels like I'm taking drugs.
Oh, well, hey, yeah? Which kind?
I don't know, just the kind that chills you out. I'm not a big drug taker.
I injected sunshine and neon into my veins.
Yeah, well, I guess maybe not drugs, just, like, I'm on an adrenaline high almost, something like that. That's how I feel, because I was telling you before we were recording that after the first robbery happens, and then it goes to the drone footage of the city with this dope song. It surprises me every time, and I'm like, oh, yes.
Yeah.
This is incredible.
Mm-hmm. Night Call.
I'm on a high. Yeah, Night Call. Yeah. I'm on a high like no other.
Those opening credits, man.
And I've listened to these songs before on Spotify a lot, as I'm sure you have, probably more than I have.
A lot.
And like it makes it even better because I'm like, oh yeah, this song rocks.
Oh, it's so good. It is such a, also just playing this song in a night drive, if you've never experienced, I highly recommend.
Is that a potential pairing of this movie?
I who knows?
May or may not.
I said this movie gives me a sense of yearning It gives me a sense of just I am watching something very cool. This mm-hmm. is cool. I feel exhilarated at parts. There is a sense to me, and I think the score alone does this in some level of transcendence. Just score and sunshine, like glamour shots. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, oh, wow. This is just beautiful to me. And then the overriding feeling that I feel now when I watch it is peaceful and serene. And I think part of that is because of how slow this movie is at the beginning. And just not even slow, but chill. It's very chill, mm-hmm. I would say, for a good 20, 30 minutes. And then it pops off. But even after things start to get crazy, I just feel chill. Like this movie is yes. a warm blanket movie to me. It just brings me peace. And it puts me in a little bit of a trance as I'm watching it. It's like if... It's like you're the crazy iPad kid and the parents are just like, okay, just put on Bluey for him and he'll calm down. That's how I feel with this movie. I'm just like, okay, just turn on Drive. Just let me watch this and I'll be
Nick's
fine.
Nick's having a crash out and Hannah's like, quick, get him Drive. He'll calm down.
Yeah, that's how it makes me feel. That's how it makes me feel.
I like that. I agree with you on that because there is conflict in this movie, obviously, mm-hmm. and it does pop off, but it's not this huge intricate story with...
Yeah.
It doesn't get you stressed, I'd say. You're never like, oh my gosh, no, what's happening? Like, mm-hmm. maybe you do. I just don't feel that way.
A little bit. I feel that way a little bit when Standard just gets completely roasted. Just
gets beat up.
Shot, like, no, oh, when he just gets like, yeah. when the pawn shop owner just like kills him, I was like, oh, this yeah, that is not probably going to go well.
Since I know it's coming, I didn't feel that way. But yeah, sure. That's probably the one point where you're like, oh, what? What's going
that
on?
That one always gets me because I'm always just like, oh, like when the shotgun blast goes through the window and like knocks him over, you're like, oh, we're so boned here.
they're screwed. One question, I don't know, sorry, we're kind of jumping around.
Let's jump around.
Okay, what is happening where in the first robbery and then this robbery, what is happening where the second person is taking so long? Like, what are they doing that the first person is not? They have the money, like Kristen Hendricks' character has the money, and then the first guy who in the first scene, we don't know his name, he has the money.
Question.
And then they like take 2 minutes to like, what's going on in there?
It's definitely a tension builder. I don't know what they're doing in there.
Yeah, like are they just, maybe they're just beating the crap out of whoever, but that obviously didn't
well,
happen
the
with
first
Oscar
one,
Isaac.
I don't think anyone's in there.
Oh, you're right.
Because it's like it looks like a warehouse or a shipping place or something.
Yeah, that's true. Are they just like standing there like, I just want to make it a little tenser?
They're like, it's not going to be fun if there's not a chase.
Yeah, it's kind of boring.
Chill out here, yeah.
So wait till I hear police sirens and then we'll get going. Then we'll make the driver earn his money.
Yeah, for real. We'll just like wait till it's a 5-star GTA chase and then we'll get in the car.
Yes, exactly.
Justin. What to you resonates as true about this movie?
What's true to me about this movie is, at the risk of sounding stupid, this, more than many other movies, feels like you're just watching art and...
That's stupid, Justin.
Yeah, well, because like every movie's art.
No, it's actually not, though.
Yeah, every movie's art. But this one, there's just scenes of them driving, like when he's like, hey, you want to see something? And he takes them mm-hmm. on that mm-hmm. little drive and they go to this creek and he's skipping stones and they're mm-hmm. playing. Like, there's nothing, I mean, there's stuff happening and that is building, like, it's building their relationships. And so it is essential, but it also is just so stylized. This movie is so stylized. It's like, mm-hmm. I'm just watching art here right now and it's pretty and fun to look at. I know how you feel.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I try to have a pretty inclusive definition of what can be art. I think dang near anything can be art. But this movie goes for, I think, a very particular style. And it is framed, like the shots are framed in such a way where it's like, this looks so beautiful. And I think what maybe throws some people off is there's a fakeness to how it looks, I think. Like, I don't think you... Almost any part of this movie you don't look at and you're like, oh, that's what real life looks like. Or even like this looks like so someone like Terrence Malick, he shoots nature in a beautiful way.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll see his movies and you're like, this looks like, this is cinematic in the way it is done, But this is also just like the beauty of nature. In this movie, nothing feels natural, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Like nothing looks natural. Mm-hmm. Like even the apartment looks super cool.
Carey Mulligan's apartment or his apartment?
Just like as they're going through, just the color scheme and everything. That
feels more believable to me. Like not.
I'm
fake.
Not saying it's unbelievable, but
it doesn't feel fake to me. Feels, or unnatural, whatever you're saying.
It feels like a choice. Like,
oh, just, like it feels more obvious. Like, oh, they really set this up in this way. Like you can just tell that.
Yeah. And okay, here's an example. So here's an example of like, this feels like a movie in every kind of way. So at the beginning of the movie, after the initial heist, after the opening credits, or maybe it's like the end of the opening credits, you see Driver walking into his apartment and there's like this really awesome shot of like the window pane in shadow, and it's just him and he's standing there. He like throws his bag on the bed and like turns his head in a weird way, and this is what I mean. No one actually acts like that in real life. Like no one just walks into their apartment.
I find
their bare apartment with nothing anywhere and just throws their bag on the thing and then just turns their head at a 90 degree angle as the window pane shadow is just on their face and on the wall. And it just looks amazing. And it's like, no one, what is he doing? He's standing there staring. Like, no, who does this? And I think that some people, that really turns some people off to this movie, but I'm like, this is amazing. This captures a vibe, this like longing and yearning.
The vibes on this movie are off the charts. That is the synthesis, is like Ryan Gosling and his vibes and the movie's vibes like carry the whole thing, I think.
Yeah, it's so incredible. I'm like, this, I eat this up, and I can see why this is something, or even like the elevator kiss into the stomping the man's face. Like, you obviously, time doesn't freeze like that. You can't just kiss someone for that long. And then all of the ambient score and then the lights just go crazy and it's just awesome. It's like, there's obviously no sense of realism to this. And I'm completely fine with that. It's a movie and it's awesome.
Well, I'm also fine with it because if you're going to go for something, just 100% do it. And some movies jump around with some of their styles like throughout the movie. And this one's like, no, we know what we're going for. We're doing it. And you're either going to like it or you don't. And I feel like a lot of people do like it. We're not alone in that.
For sure. A lot of people do like it. And I think that it also is a confident movie in that it's going for a very particular thing. And it's not trying to be like, well, but... this isn't really relatable, or this isn't really, and it's just like, no, we're going to do this story. It's going to look like this, and we're going to have moments with blood water fountains, and it's just going to be wild. It's just going to be crazy, and I like it.
So another thing that's true that kind of coincides with what we're talking about is hot people can just carry a movie and not say much, and it's fine.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Because you just like looking at them and it's like, all right, Carey Mulligan and Ryan Gosling are having like 5-word conversations as a whole. Like they're saying 5 words total between them. And that's fine because it's just looking at them. But I will say the acting with that is you have to have some type of swagger, whatever you want to call it, to like be confident enough to be like, I'm doing this and people are going to believe it because this is who I can be as an actor. And they're great people for that.
For sure. And I think that it's one of those things too, that I think casting is huge. And I think this movie, like particularly with Gosling has this like trifecta of movies, of this movie, Drive, Place Beyond the Pines, and Blade Runner 2049, where most of what he does is walk around sad and stare and not say much and have puppy dog eyes and then sometimes just kill someone brutally. And I love those movies. Like, those are three of my favorite movies. Mm-hmm. And I think, it's one of those things where it's just like, he's really not doing a lot, but I love what he's doing.
I wish that I was like my age now when this movie came out, because it's a really interesting part of his career that this comes out in 2011. Like, he's done The Notebook. He's done Lars and the Real Girl. He's done, obviously, Remember the Titans. He's done some movies for sure, but this, I don't want to say like really upped his game or like really upped his popularity, but I do say, I do feel like
in
it wasn't like
circles for sure.
Yeah. I just,
I mean, he's coming, like he had done The Notebook and like some bigger movies and also some movies like Half Nelson and stuff that are like,
yes,
indie
Half
movies.
Nelson. Yeah.
And so this was definitely like a choice.
Yeah. It wasn't like, I feel like at the time, I could be wrong about this, but I feel like at the time it wasn't a slam dunk of like, oh yeah, Ryan Gosling's going to carry this movie and mm-hmm. be the driver. That yeah. didn't seem obvious. Now it seems obvious, well, but I don't think it felt that way then.
There's a guy who was potentially going to be the driver.
Oh.
That we'll get to, but okay. It would be, I think it'd be a pretty different movie.
Yeah.
For me, something that resonates with this movie is, and actually Dr. Fletcher mentioned this on the Do the Right Thing episode, love is an action. And in mm-hmm. this movie, the thing that just gets me is it's like you have this guy and he has a lame life, like kind of a cool life. He helps rob banks and he's a stunt car driver, but like he has no emotional intimacy with anyone at all. And he falls in love with Irene and he clearly cares about her kid, Benicio,
mm-hmm.
and he loves them. He's not getting a lot out of the relationship in the sense of, like, I mean, they're not having sex.
Yeah.
And I don't...
Doesn't look
I
like mean, a normal relationship so yeah. far, because he's keeping his boundaries a little bit with the
yeah.
husband thing.
It looks like she's only, like, 75% cheating on her husband.
Yeah, right. There's no major proof that they're cheating, so it's fine.
Yeah, there's an awkward conversation where she's like, you've been helping out a lot around mm-hmm. the house? And he's like... Yeah.
Yeah. Let mommy talk to her friend.
Yeah, yeah. That whole dynamic. Him sitting at the dinner table with them as he's telling the story of how he met
his wife. Oh, my gosh.
Like,
so awkward.
Oh my gosh.
Also, she's 17. Oh,
oh yeah. Right. Uh-huh. Yeah. That story. Wild. So, okay. He's doing all of this. And then at the end of the movie, first of all, in the middle, he tries to help rob a pawn shop and get no money, but just try and help this guy who is the husband of the woman that he loves be in the clear so that his wife and kids are safe. And
yes.
then by the end of the movie, it's like, okay, I'm not even going to go see Irene or Benicio at all. And they are safe.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's all that matters.
I'm really a sucker for certain types of sappiness. And that just, that one hits me. This self-sacrificial love thing.
Yeah.
It is...
Yeah, he does not get a whole lot out of this movie. It's not
yes.
really going great for him.
Yeah.
But mm-hmm. yeah, he does it anyways.
I also love the idea of this just like he rationalizes, I think, his crime in the sense of like, oh, I don't carry a gun. I only drive. I don't actually do the stealing. And I think we all have the ability to like kind of be in that place, but then also transcend that. And I think that's a big part of this story too, is him going from like so the song Real Human Being, right? A real hero is the song. All right. It's played over and over in the movie, at least twice. And at the beginning of the movie, he is a criminal. He's doing things. He doesn't have a big sense of fulfillment. He also, even little things like when he's on his movie job and he's dressed like a cop and wearing a mask, you're like, oh, like that's as fake as it gets. You're literally a criminal dressing as a cop. And he, through love and through loving Irene and Benicio, becomes more of a truer version of himself, I would mm-hmm. say. And I think that that's really beautiful. The ability of love to help us like transcend our brokenness is
yeah.
really lovely.
I definitely see that. And I was also thinking too with what you were talking about, his no violence or like no gun thing.
Mm-hmm.
Towards the end, he's just like, oh, I got to get stuff done. So I'm killing some people.
Yeah, his whole thing of like, I don't carry a gun. All I do is drive. And then curtain rod through the chest, stomped face in the elevator.
Yeah.
Like, oh.
His back's against the wall. And you know what? He's probably killing some bad people. So not that death is good, but.
Yeah, they're some pretty tough customers for sure. Oh, man. I would say also the practical driving effects in this movie. Yeah.
Pretty
like,
good.
Like the opener is not a crazy car chase by
no.
any means, but I love how it's shot much of it within the car and you're just seeing him watching the streets and watching the helicopter and everything. It's not like a muscle car. it's an Impala, but it still is just like tense with the music, and also with just like the when he stopped at the light and he's watching the cop, and then he's listening to the police scanners, and then the sirens turn on, and it's like, and he's like turning around. But then also the pawn shop robbery, like the driving in that is so fun. And it's so fun to watch. Like, if you watch a movie like a Fast and Furious movie, a lot of what you're watching are cars with green screens around them, just like with hydraulics shaking. Uh-huh. And this is not that.
Oh, yeah.
You're watching actual stunt drivers do some pretty crazy stuff with cars. And I love that. And honestly, like, I don't think we get enough movies with a lot of practical driving. There are some out there. Cool. But it looks amazing. And you can just tell when it is real. As opposed to something that's like just looks schlocky.
Mm-hmm. I also almost like that it's not super flashy with even the opening scene. It's more smart. Like he has a plan of just going to the game parking garage, the LA Clippers parking garage, and then sneaking out of there. The beginning one, there's not a huge chase, or it's not a crazy one. The one after the pawn shop robbery gone wrong does get a little pretty crazy, but it's still not like overly, it's not excessive,
which I
can appreciate.
I would say something else that stands out to me about this movie is it deals in iconography. Like, it is a movie full of images that just stick with, I almost said stick with you, they stick with me. So like here are some of them, just like things that are either symbols or just a tangible item that I think is one of those things that like movies can do better than any other medium, because it just shows you a thing in a particular way that just burrows its way in your mind. So things like hammer, scorpion, the box of knives that Bernie has after he kills Shannon.
Yes, yep.
The bullet that's like in his hand that they give to the kid, the driving gloves, the toothpick, like all of those things just like live in my brain. And it's hard for me to separate some of this stuff of like, oh, I've seen this many, many times. But then also it's just like that imagery, the hammer, that lives in my brain. And it's barely in the movie. I don't know, just the images, but then also the setting. The way this movie looks just gives me a sense of place. And again, not a realistic sense, but this place is, the visual vibe of this place evokes something. So like the golden elevator, the apartment hallway, the apartment window with like that shot of him just looking out the window at the beginning with the city in the background, the Chinese restaurant, Shannon's garage, all of those places feel really lived in. And like the pizzeria as well, or as Danny Aiello would say, the pizzeria.
Mm-hmm.
Pizzeria.
Yeah,
like those all feel, I don't know, there's just a real sense of place in all of those places for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see that.
I think I'm struggling to talk about this movie because I'm just like, this is so personal that I'm like, it's all personal, and that's what I like about like having people on and talking about movies that mean something to them. It's all super personal and subjective. But for me, for this particular movie, I'm like, this is so, it's hard for me to like, talk about it in a way where I'm like, will anyone else vibe with what I'm saying at all? Because this movie just is a pure comfort movie for me, and one that has just shaped my taste in so many ways.
Yeah. So, this one's your baby. That's why I said they're synonymous, your name and this movie title.
Yeah. Just a few little things here.
Sure.
Like, I love movies about professionals.
That is
so
fun.
Like, I think one of the things, and professionals who do crime in particular.
Oh yeah, crime makes it way more fun when they're professional at that.
I mean,
it's cool to see.
From Ocean's 11 to half of Michael Mann's movies,
you're
just like, oh, these people are professional at being criminals, and it is, I just love it. Another
29
thing,
minutes until Michael Mann was mentioned in the podcast. That's actually pretty long.
Yeah, honestly.
With this movie in particular, too.
Cliff Martinez, who did the score. A former Red Hot Chili Pepper, Cliff Martinez, he can single-handedly elevate a movie. And in this movie, I think it was just a perfect storm where what he's doing with the score just fits so well with the visuals. But like, he did Den of Thieves, and he also did Arbitrage, which are two movies that I like Den of Thieves a lot more than Arbitrage, but those are two movies that like the score for this significantly lifts
the movie.
Oh yeah,
it boosts it for sure.
Yes, because it's just like without the score, this movie would be not nearly as good. And obviously the same with Drive. Like the score does a ton, but it's meshed so well. Whereas like Den of Thieves, the first time I watched Den of Thieves, I was watching it and I was hearing the score and I was like, this is awesome. Mm-hmm. And by awesome, I mean one note playing the whole time. Like, it's just like synth.
The right type of note.
Yeah, and I'm like, this is amazing. And then I was like, oh, Cliff Martinez. Yeah. Awesome.
I know you probably think this movie is perfect as is, but do you want to see an edit of this movie with a Tangerine Dream original score for this movie?
Oh, I mean, I would watch any movie with a Tangerine Dream score, but this I'm not asking for it for this one.
Yeah.
But if Tangerine Dream was like, we're going to make a an album inspired by Drive, I'd listen to that thing.
This one is just begging for a Tangerine Dream to make a score for it.
For sure. Yeah. Oh, okay. Here's another thing about this movie. Nicholas Winding Refn. He's one of those guys. I think he's really up his own butt with his movies, and I think he's gotten more that way as he's gone along, because like if you watch some of his earlier movies, like the Pusher trilogy, they're very crime-focused, but they're also very... they have kind of a lo-fi sense in how they're shot and just how they're done. Whereas this is like, oh man, a lot of this looks like a perfume commercial, but like in a good way.
Yeah.
And he just goes really hard with the aesthetics nowadays. And also just like his stories a lot of times are dumb, in my opinion. Like The Neon Demon is a pretty dumb movie. It has some striking visuals and it's very cool in some ways, but it's pretty dumb. Only God Forgives, which he did with Ryan Gosling after this movie, is stupid. It looks amazing at times, and there are some cool moments, but it's dumb. He also did two TV miniseries. Only God Forgives with Miles Teller, which has moments that I really love.
No, Too Old to Die Young.
Gosh, what did I say?
Only God Forgives, which is the movie you're talking about.
Oh, gosh, yes. Too Old to Die Young with Miles Teller, which is crazy. Crazy movie or crazy show. I'm not going to not recommend it to anyone. All I'll say is there are some parts that are so indulgent with like, oh, we're just going to hold this shot for like 5 minutes. And it's like, okay, calm down. It's very into like the quote unquote slow cinema thing. But then he also did Copenhagen Cowboy for Netflix, which I really like.
Mm.
I do not like the ending. And the ending is very open-ended where it's like, were you just wanting a second season on this or what? But Copenhagen Cowboy, I love. It is awesome. But in general, Nicholas Winding Refn, I think if he would pull his head out of his butt just a little bit and not go with every impulse he has as a filmmaker, I think his things would be better.
Cliff Martinez also
Yep.
Naked Cowboy.
Yep, absolutely. And I think Too Old to Die Young as well. And definitely Only God Forgives. They've worked a lot together.
Yeah.
Cliff Martinez puts out a score like every month. Feels like. Like, yeah. Okay, wait. One other thing, though, about Nicholas Winding Refn. There's a relationship that he has to his work that reminds me of David Byrne from Talking Heads. And here is why it reminds me of that. So Nicholas Winding Refn, I think Drive it is by far my favorite of his. And I would say most people who've seen his work, like Drive is their favorite. And I think that a big part of that is that it was with a studio and it was with big name actors and it was a pre-written, like it's based on a book. And it did change some off the book. But it's like one of those things where it's like, okay, you had a lot of other people contributing to this in a lot of ways, which is always the case in filmmaking. But I think in this case, like there's an element of pop and like making a movie for the masses that I think goes into this movie, even though you don't necessarily watch it and you're like, wow, this is just like a populist movie necessarily.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think there's an element there that makes what he's bringing to it even better. And in a similar way, David Byrne of Talking Heads. So like I've listened to some of his music post Talking Heads and it's always a big swing and it's always out there. I don't always love it, but I love Talking Heads. They're one of my favorite bands. And David Byrne and I think Nicholas Winding Refn too are both very stereotypically quote unquote artistic people. And so I think having people who are very into what they're doing and into doing weird stuff are oftentimes helped by having others in their orbit. Like, I think David Byrne is better with the talking heads than he is without them.
Yeah.
I think that Nicholas Winding Refn is better working in a studio system than when he just has full reign, blank check, do whatever you want, because he follows some of his impulses that are just stupid. And I think it could help to have someone else in the room to be like, you know, maybe not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The problem is I feel like a lot of those guys or girls don't want to have someone doing, they feel so passionate about what they're doing that they're like, I don't want to do that because I have a complete vision for this and I don't want you to mess with it or tame
Absolutely.
It. So that can be tough. But yeah, I agree with you.
And honestly,
I think they need some direction sometimes.
For sure. Like, honestly, I would generally like to see a movie that is purely the director's vision more than a movie that has a ton of studio input. But I think in these rare cases, it's like, you know what? Sometimes notes are a good thing.
Yeah. The ratio, there needs to be a ratio, but I wish the ratio was like 80% director or whatever the ratio is, where it's like, I don't need a ton of executives' influence on this movie.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. We'll talk about the music. I'll get to the music. Justin, anything not true to you about this movie? Anything that you don't vibe with or that you're like, no?
As much as I like Ryan Gosling's character and I like watching him, I don't vibe with him as a person. I don't know a single person who acts like the way he does ever. He's just so non-responsive. Sometimes someone will be speaking to him and ask him something and he'll just like be like, sure. Mm-hmm. Take 3 seconds to respond with sure.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, like, I take her time, I guess, but man.
For sure. I said naming your character Driver. No. Just, I would say don't do that, but I kind of give this movie a pass.
How easy
a
would it
bit.
Be to name him Ronald or whatever you want to name him? It wouldn't be that tough.
Please not Ronald.
Ronald.
Driver over Ronald.
Ronald, help, you gotta drive me.
The only other thing I said, I just want to acknowledge, this is a deeply silly movie. Like, it's a silly movie. Like,
in what way? I don't disagree with you. I'm just wanting to hear your thoughts.
Like, just some of the, just exactly what you're talking about. Of like, let's just stare at each other for like
oh,
30
yeah.
seconds.
In the hallway of like, them being like, hey.
Hey.
Hi.
Yeah. Huh.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And like that kind of, like, it's
okay,
very easy to pick apart, and if I didn't like this movie, I would crap all over it for those reasons, but
sure.
I like it, and I think it works.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
I mean, I would disagree with people, but
yeah,
this
sure.
would be an easy movie for someone to be like, this sucks for this, for this, for this. Like, I
sure.
get it, but I don't agree.
Yeah.
An example also of Driver, like, that I wrote down immediately is when he comes into her apartment with her grocery bags in hands, and he says, where do you want me to put these?
Yeah.
And she says kitchen. It's like, yeah, put the groceries in the kitchen. What? No, put them in the bedroom.
I think it's really showing his lack of domesticity. Like, it's like he probably lives off of like ramen noodles.
Off of oil from the garage he works in because he's not a human.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, he probably does live off like ramen noodles or just like, oh, I'll just get a drive-thru on the way home real quick.
Uh-huh. Well, going off, you think he goes to the drive-thru and gets that in his car? I feel like he's too particular.
Maybe he just goes to the drive-thru and
then
eats
it at home.
You think
he just gets a sloppy, nasty sandwich and just and throws the trash on the floor?
Uh-huh.
You think the guys are getting in to his car to rob a place and like, oh, there's McDonald's wrappers all over. This is disgusting.
Yeah, no, probably not. I will say one of the coolest things that he does, and the one, like, this is so small, but him timing the robberies with a watch that he puts on the driving or the steering,
on the steering wheel,
is dope to me.
It's so cool.
I was like, why is this so cool? It shouldn't be, but it is.
I know. Well, that is this movie. Why is this cool? I don't know, but it is.
Yep. It just looks good when Ryan Gosling is doing it with driving gloves on and putting it on this.
Yeah.
And like you're talking about with how this movie looks like just like unreal in the way that you wouldn't experience life this way. They make a Chevy Impala, like, look, oh, I want to drive this car. Why do I want to drive a Chevy Impala? They're not that cool.
No, right. Yep. But when you're looking at, like, the glowing dash and his face, and
mission accomplished movie.
He's driving it like he stole it because someone probably did. It's just crazy.
And when he gets the Impala and Bryan Cranston's character is like, yeah, looks pretty normal on the outside, but I put like a gigantic engine in here, and like it's like, oh yeah, you're gonna drive the crap out of this thing.
Oh yeah. Well, going off of some of the things that you said of like Driver being a Well, I had a question of would Driver be the biggest douchebag in the world if he were real? I just think, let me make my case here. He tells you how many streets are in the city when you're just asking for someone to drive you from your robbery. All of his 5-minute BS. You have me for 5 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
Anything on either side of that. It's like, okay.
The hard and fast rule of that.
He uses a wristwatch to count the time. We're in a pretty digital time, bro. He walks around with a toothpick and a white scorpion jacket. I don't think he would be... If he were real, I think I would hate him.
Him walking out of the Clippers garage with his little LA hat and like having his leather jacket like on one finger, but like he just looks like a goober.
There's nothing to see here, officers.
Just enjoy the game.
I'm just watching. Yeah, you look at that guy, you're like, oh, he's a big Clippers fan.
He is really into the Clippers. He's got the LA hat and everything.
That was a question I had for you, Justin. Do you think Driver is actually a Clippers fan?
I don't think he gives two shits about the Clippers.
I know that he's listening to the game while they're robbing the place so that he can time it perfectly. Mm-hmm. But I'm also just like... is he actually partially listening to it? Because he's like, ooh, I really want to hear how the Clippers do.
Yeah. No, he does not care about the Clippers. I'm very interested, though, in his life outside of being a driver. Like, what does he do now? Like, what's he...
Yeah.
He's so simple that...
You think he works in a garage? You think he works at a Jiffy Lube?
Maybe. Maybe
you think
you
drive up your I'll drive up my Ford Focus to the Jiffy Lube.
Yeah,
I'll just be in there. I won't tell any of the LA mob that you're here.
You probably get bored and then just want to do some driving again.
Yeah, probably. Well, let's just jump right into the question since we're here.
Okay.
Yes. I have a very important question. This is so stupid. Should there be a Finding Nemo sequel called Finding Nino, where Albert? Where Albert Brooks, like Marlin, is just swimming in the ocean and he finds Nino dead. And I don't really know what else would happen other than he would be like, Nino, you think
Nino!
You can do these things, but you can't. But you can't.
Oh, so good. Sure, I'll watch like a 10-minute short film on that. That's
all fine. Right, all right, great.
5 minutes, maybe.
Maybe turn it into a 30-second TikTok reel. That would be...
That's actually more of what we're looking at here.
Okay.
I just watched Freakier Friday yesterday.
Okay.
So this will come to play. Would you switch bodies with Ryan Gosling? Not Driver. Ryan Gosling for a day.
For just a day?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. For sure. I mean... I feel like it'd be
think
one
about
of those...
the drawbacks though. Ryan Gosling is now in your body and living in your home with Ripley and Hannah. Like, is there anything you're worried about with that?
I don't know. He might kill Ripley. I don't know.
He's not gonna kill your dog. Jeez.
I don't know. Maybe I'm just thinking that because I just watched him in Drive. And
he's not Driver.
Guy.
He's just Ryan Gosling. But yeah, you would.
And because... Ripley's a pretty shady character. I don't know. He might be like, I'm bringing justice to you.
Yeah, he's got too big of eyes. He's like, I don't trust those eyes.
Also, Ripley had no reaction to this movie. I was pretty...
Wow, that's disappointing.
I was disappointed, on the verge of offended. I was like, Ripley, are you serious?
You had to have a talk with him after that. Like, Ripley, when I'm watching this movie, you need to do something.
Ripley's like, he's watching Drive again. Oh my gosh, the movie sucks.
Yeah, it was cool the first time, maybe the second time, but after that, it's kind of boring.
Well, speaking of dogs, Well, actually, Justin, would you switch bodies with Ryan Gosling?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I definitely would.
For sure.
Just be, you're
for
Ryan,
a day, for a day.
Yeah, for a day.
But, like, I would like to walk around just, like, a street and be like, how are people looking at me? I'm Ryan Gosling. I don't know.
I know.
It'd be
like,
an interesting experience.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what all I'd do. Yeah, I'd probably do that. I would enjoy whatever house he lives in. It's probably very nice.
Yeah, probably. Okay, does Driver need a dog or a Nintendo Switch? Because I feel like he does. Because when he walks in to his bare ass apartment,
which also I thought at first was a hotel because it just is a studio. It's like, what is this?
There's
place?
Nothing on the walls at all. I don't think he owns a TV. What we see
no,
him
he,
in his apartment.
He's definitely
like,
a guy that's like, I don't watch TV.
We see him in his apartment like 2 or 3 times. And at one point, he's just sitting there at his like kitchen table with an engine on the table, staring at the engine. And you're like, what is this guy doing? Like,
I feel like he needs a cat because a dog would be too much. Too much responsibility. Or did he just like, I don't want to deal with this.
True.
Cat's great. It's companionship.
Do you think the cat litter box would just be piling up? He forgets about it.
Yeah,
he
probably does. Oh.
He looks at his cat. He looks at the pile, the mountain of poop, and he's just like, oh. And then he picks it up and goes.
He's like, I'll just go stay at Irene's tonight. I guess it smells like shit in here.
I would love to
see him play Nintendo Switch. I'll just say that.
You what?
I would love to see him play Nintendo Switch.
He's a big Mario Kart guy. He's like, I drive, man. I just drive.
Or,
I can't stop driving.
Or even Crash Team Racing.
Yeah. Probably not a Mario Party person. Too social. Okay. My final question, really. For those who hate this movie, because there are pockets of people who are like, I hate this movie.
I don't doubt it.
For sure. For those of them, not who just like, this isn't my thing, but for those who hate it, have you considered that perhaps you're just sad because you don't have anyone in your life who loves you like Driver loves Irene? It's just a question that I think perhaps
just
you
ponder.
Should ask yourself. Just sit down and think about it for a little
bit. Do you have a guy or girl that would stomp a guy's head in for you after they kiss you so passionately like that?
Right?
If the answer is no, then maybe you need to rethink some things.
Yeah, maybe you need to aspire to finding that person who would stomp someone's face into mush in the elevator.
Nick, do you have any eBay searches on your computer that is white gold scorpion jacket?
No. No, okay. I do not.
Darn.
I don't think.
Or Etsy. Either would
be
acceptable.
I don't know. If you look at my internet history of the past decade, there has probably been a search of, is this out there? And there are like 13 or 14 of them that are like made as the movie was made that are just floating around out there.
Uh-huh.
I honestly, it's one of those things that in theory you'd be like, oh, this would be cool to have. And then you're like, oh, well, I'm not going to wear it.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, you're definitely not going
to
wear it.
I feel like if I saw someone wearing that in public, I'd try to kick their ass on principle. So I'm just like, I don't know.
Here's a question. As I was watching this, how come I feel like toothpicks as a replacement for cigarettes should have taken off after this movie? Because it's like a mouth thing where like you get to do. He says he doesn't smoke, and it's like a mouth thing. You get to have something in your mouth and play with it, but it's not killing you. So this should be like the healthy. Vaping took over cigarettes, but this should be the healthy cigarettes.
What if Driver's just busting a fat cloud on his vape? They're robbing a place, but then smoke's just billowing out of his car.
Yeah. But doesn't he look so cool with a toothpick in his mouth?
He does look cool with a toothpick. I think it's almost like a... I don't know if James Dean ever actually had a toothpick. I've seen Rebel Without a Cause. I don't know if he has a toothpick in it. I think it's just this callback of like toothpick is stereotypical cool, even though it's not really that cool, especially in real life. It's like, oh, it's a toothpick.
It's a fun choice because easily could just be a smoker.
For sure. And actually, I think that it fits his vibe better to not be a smoker.
Yeah.
And actually, as much as I think smoking in real life, don't do it. But in movies, it's like, ooh. Smoking looks amazing. I actually think this is a rare example where he is cooler not smoking.
Yeah.
Whereas in most movies, I would say always make your characters smoke.
He's kind of like a hippie mixed with a full-blown crime boss vibe. Like
hippie?
Wow. Hippie in the term, or
I don't
like,
think he's free love enough.
True.
I don't
but,
see him listening to a lot of psychedelia.
But he feels like he cares about the earth, maybe.
Huh. Yeah, maybe.
He cares about important things.
He's not a litterer. He wouldn't throw plastic out the window.
Yeah, he feels like a guy who's like, you got to do the right thing.
Yeah.
That's unintentional.
All right. Oh, man.
Also, you've read the book, right?
I have read the book, Drive.
That was one of my questions for you.
James Salas. It, everything that I love about this movie, it does have the bare bones of a good story, I think. But it's very bare bones. And 90% of what I love about it is visual and music. And so it's hard to read the book after watching the movie and be like, is this going to live up to this at all? And it does not. It's not a bad book. It's a book that I mm-hmm. had very little reaction to. There's a lot more lore on, like, Bernie and Nino, interestingly. Like, I'm pretty sure they come from the East Coast, and, mm-hmm. like, they talk about their history some. There's a few cool parts of the book where it talks about, like, bootlegger maneuvers with cars and things. It's a book that I was like, yeah, the movie, it, like, these are not even on the same plane. Mm-hmm. But I appreciate the book for existing because helped make the movie. But yeah,
I was thinking this as I was watching it, and it's not a dig per se either, but sure. I was thinking this is one of the simplest plot movies ever.
I think that that's its strength in part.
Yeah.
Is that it's if you had to care a lot about everything going on, I think it would be distracting from just the pure visual juice mm-hmm. of this movie.
Because on paper, it's just this driver does getaway car driving. He meets this girl with a son that he likes them both a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then he gets mixed up in some business that he unintentionally got mixed up with because of her husband.
Yeah.
And then shit goes down, and then, oh no, they're coming after her. I can't be with them anymore. Bye. That's like the whole thing.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I don't know. I think it works with the bare bones story. And I'm glad, honestly.
I do too.
I'm glad that it's not, this goes back to it. I'm glad it's not a Nicholas Winding Refn original story, because I don't think he would necessarily write it as chill. Not even chill. It's not a chill story, but as simply. I think he'd be like, and then this crazy freaking thing happens, and it's like, okay.
We didn't really need that.
Or it's like, this guy's in love with his mother, which is something that Refn loves to do. Oh, he loves a good Oedipus complex.
Oh my gosh.
It's in Only God Forgives. It's in Too Old to Die Young. It's just like,
about a way to lose me. Ew.
Yeah, it's in Copenhagen Cowboy too. Sometimes quite explicitly, and it's like, dude, we get it. You love your mommy a little too much. Like, I don't. Also, like, I think there's this bend for some storytellers to be like, wow, isn't, like, being in love with your mom so deep and interesting? And I'm like, it's really not that interesting to me. No, it's really not. Like, it's it's a choice, you know, whatever. It's whatever.
Yeah.
So I think that if he wrote the whole thing, I think he'd be like, and then Driver's mom, and she's hot, and he is in love with her, which is basically what Only God Forgives is. It's in Thailand, and Ryan Gosling is quiet and kills people and is like, I'm in love with my mom. It's dumb. Spoiler alert.
What was I going to say about that?
I can't remember. Justin's like, oh, that reminds me of my Oedipus complex.
I was going to say Freud would give that, like, gives his movies a standing ovation. Yeah, yes!
Freud would see Only God Forgives. Oh, my goodness. Oh, yes. Yeah, Freud would love this. Okay, best hang, worst hang, Justin. Who's the best hang?
Best hang. I'll go with Irene. She's just lovely.
She is lovely. I'm not.
Yeah, you're not sold on this one.
I'm not. What would you do with Irene?
Yeah, like, let me tell you on Irene.
What does she like to do? Like, I don't think she has anything she does.
Well, you don't get to see a lot of situations where she's choosing what to do, I feel True. Like. But that's what the thing I like about her. I'm such a chill person. She's down to just hang out. Like, it's a Friday night. I'm like, Irene, want to stay home? She's like, oh, yeah, you read my mind. I'm like, sweet. Let's stay home and talk or chill or whatever. And she's not going to try and get involved in some crime like Standard or Driver.
True.
But I like her vibe. I think she clearly fits Driver's vibe where she doesn't need to talk a bunch either and she's just mm-hmm. looking at him. That's another thing that's true about this movie is the dialogue is my type of dialogue, and not that I necessarily want every movie to be like this, but
Justin likes having 5-second pauses in between every line.
Exactly.
For every movie.
That way the movie's 3 hours long. No, it's more so that there's no words wasted ever. That's how I like to talk.
Yeah.
As much as I can.
Justin's like, I never waste a word.
If I waste a word, I pinch myself. I'm like, stop! No, I just like that. They don't, there's no words wasted. So. Yeah,
for sure.
Best hang for you?
Best hang for me is Benicio. Because
there's
a moment in this movie where he's just...
Well, that's his problem. He's a kid. I wouldn't want to hang with him.
He's great, though. He's a great kid. He's just sitting there.
He's a great kid, for sure.
He never is annoying. He's never just like,
no.
Bah, 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 bah.
No,
like,
he's pretty cool.
He's cool kid. And they're just sitting watching cartoons. I'm like, yeah, Benicio.
Is the shark the bad guy?
Yeah. There's also, that's just littered throughout this movie. Because you have like, is the shark the bad guy? You have when he gets into Benicio and Irene's house, he comes up to him with the mask and he's like, ah. And that whole thing.
He's like, ah, scary.
And then you have Driver wearing the mask, very on the nose kind of thing. You have all of that. Yeah, there's a lot there for sure. And I love that stuff in this movie.
Yeah.
So, worst hang. Who's the worst hang? I'm really interested in this because there are lots of bad hangs in this movie.
For sure. There are a lot of bad hangs. I feel like I have a good case for my person, but I All do right. think on the surface they look like you could have a fun time with them.
Okay.
I'm Shannon. Interested.
Dude, that was mine too.
Yep. He's a dark horse.
For bad hang.
Yeah, for bad hang. Yeah. Because I could easily say Ron Perlman's character.
Yeah, Nino sucks.
Nino sucks. And also, like, the first time I watched this movie, I was like, I think this might be the scariest person I've ever seen in my life. And he has I'm sorry, Ron Perlman, but you have the biggest face. I was just like, oh my gosh, your face is huge.
Yeah, yes.
Anyways,
yes.
To Shannon, he sucks. He underpays him. He's like, ah, I underpay him. And he doesn't know it. It's like, what the? That's messed up.
Uh-huh.
And he just seems like a little leech.
It's funny. I always took the underpaying thing as tongue-in-cheek, like kidding. But actually, he might actually do that.
Yeah, this time I took it very literal.
Because he did. Well, here's why I said he's the worst thing. He's stupid. He's really dumb.
Mm-hmm.
He rips off the mob. Like, he tries to gouge them and, like, overcharge them, so they break his pelvis. And then, later in the movie, when Driver has the money, he's just like, think of what we could do with that money, kid. And he's like, dude.
Where'd you put the money? I can keep it safe for you.
He's like, I'm not keeping the money here, you idiot.
Yeah, you're dumb.
And then, later in the movie, he reveals to the murderers where Driver and Irene live.
Oh,
and he's
mentioned
you
them too.
Moron. Yeah. Like, you're so dumb.
You're right. He's very dumb. I didn't catch on all that.
Let me give him a little bit of props. He kind of has this nice little father figure thing going on.
He does.
On.
He's kind of fun. And
he's like, you want any caffeine, nicotine, creatine?
Uh-huh.
He's like, charm. You don't smoke. And then he's just like, kid, whatever. And he does end up at the end of his life covering for Driver and being like, he went to Mexico or was it Belize or whatever. And it's like, hey, he sacrifices his life and he doesn't rat him out. But it's also like, Shannon, you're an idiot and you cause so much unnecessary crap to happen that is so avoidable.
Yeah. He genuinely just is not going to be a fun guy to hang around because I feel like he's always going to be wanting something from you.
Yeah. Okay. Let me go through some fun facts. So, Driver's apartment number. Okay, Justin, this is how broken my brain is from movies. Yesterday, I was watching this movie, and at the part where Irene goes to like knock on his door and he's not there, his apartment number is 405. And I was like, that sounds so familiar. And in my head, I could hear Al Pacino, Vincent Hanna, and Heat going, oh, they took the 405, like, for this robbery. And I was like, is that an interstate in L.A.? And then I looked it up, and it is. It is an interstate in L.A.
That's cool.
So maybe I think that's in Heat. If the 405 is not mentioned in Heat, I don't know where that came from. Or maybe I read it on the internet at some point years ago, and it just resurfaced. But I was like, oh, interesting. I've just watched enough movies that take place in L.A. where the 405 is mentioned. It is, based on 2005 novel. We talked about that. Okay, I want you to take a guess at
the original casting.
Yes, who was signed on for a while to play Driver before Gosling? And I'll try and give you a hint. Think musical.
Oh, musical. That's not where I was going. My first guess was going to be Chris Evans.
Well, I don't want to make it too easy.
Sure. Musical. Is he around the same age as Ryan Gosling, I'm assuming?
I think he is a little older.
Okay. This is hard to think through.
He's like 12 years older. Okay, he is older.
Okay, he's older. So now he's like pretty old. Well, not like pretty old, but he's like in late 50s.
He's late middle
50s.
Age.
Yeah, early to late 50s, maybe.
Yep.
this is hard. I don't know. Music, like he sings and stuff. Uh-huh. Is what you're saying.
Uh-huh. Think of a guy who is pretty standardly attractive, conventionally attractive man, very, very conventionally attractive. A comedian that you, I don't know how I just pulled this out of my butt. A comedian that you like has a bit about this guy.
Whoa. Wow. I'm so interested in this now. Oh my gosh.
He
was the comedian who talks about him, Jim Gaffigan.
I'm not telling you who
it
is. Oh,
darn it.
There's one big hint that I really don't want to give you.
Yeah.
He's tall. He's a tall dude. Joel Edgerton?
Not Joel Edgerton. Joel, the guy from Community.
No. Oh my gosh. No.
He's very tall.
I don't think he ever had the juice to like be in a Hollywood movie as the main character.
There's like literally no one popping up in my head. Who is this person?
All right. Australian.
Oh, Australian. Chris Hemsworth?
Oh, that's actually a interesting guess.
That would be a fun. That probably be better than whoever you're
like
trying to
think of.
The
other
about.
Australian actor. You're really just thinking of blonde people.
Yeah, no, I'm thinking
of
a blonde.
This man's
person.
A brunette.
Oh. Okay.
He's got dark hair.
Keith Urban.
What?
No, I'm just joking. Well, he's musical.
He is? Okay,
no,
Justin.
I literally don't know. Who
Taylor Tomlinson has a bit about him.
Oh, okay. What?
And getting like one of his gloves from like a production.
Oh, what's his name?
Hugh Jackman.
Wait, he's Australian?
Yeah.
Dude.
Okay, the big hint that I thought was a big hint was clearly not.
Yeah, I'm like double checking this now. I don't even believe you.
Yeah, he is.
Wow, how did I never know that he was Australian?
So Hugh Jackman was originally on. I am very glad that he did not do it because I don't know if he can shut up. Like, I just feel like he'd burst out of like Greatest Showman or something. But then I was also like, you know what? He is in Prisoners and he's pretty quiet in that. He could do something, but I'm very glad we got Gosling.
Hugh Jackman is currently dating Sutton Foster.
Who's that?
This woman.
I don't know
who that is. She's been in Broadway and this TV show that Abby watched recently.
Huh. Well,
yeah, I'm really glad that he was not in this. That would have been a very much worse movie. I don't like looking at him like I like looking at Ryan Gosling.
Amen. A few other fun facts. Albert Brooks shaved his eyebrows for the role.
Okay, his eyebrows did look weird.
Yes, and I think it's a good choice.
Why is it a good choice? Like, why did he do that?
It just looks creepy, I think.
Okay.
I don't know. Or he's like, this guy has some sort of backstory where he burnt off his eyebrows. I don't know. Nicholas Winding Refn has said before that this movie is like a fairy tale to him in a lot of ways.
Ooh.
And I think, okay, I love that. I had not thought of it consciously before I read that, but I'm like, yeah, it works really well. It's very fantastical. It's very much a movie. It's very not realistic. It's very visually stunning. Two other movies in my life that I really love that are also fairy tale-esque, Night of the Hunter and mm-hmm. also Suspiria. Both of those movies are very, it feels like the characters and just even the plot is just very fairy tale-esque and dealing in archetypes, like archetypal characters. And this movie feels that way as well. Ryan Gosling said that it's like a violent John Hughes movie, which I don't know what he's smoking. I don't get that at all. I think that's just a ridiculous thing to say. John Hughes of like Ferris Bueller's Day Off and The Breakfast Club.
Oh, sure.
I'm like, how is this a violent John Hughes movie? I don't
Maybe he was
understand.
Just trying to sell this movie as he was on the tour for marketing
I guess.
It.
Yeah. The movie is like 100 minutes long.
Which is awesome.
Just, yeah.
Too bad it doesn't fit your double digit list on
I know.
Letterboxd.
I have that double digit list on Letterboxd of short movies and it's 100 minutes. Can't go on there.
You technically can't do that.
I can't. Okay, Justin. Do you have any fun facts?
No, but I just have to say this before I forget. Can you imagine the next guy, person who uses that elevator after he stomped that person's head in? They just open the elevator door is like, what?
They are. That's a great question. Do you think the janitor has to just like go, like what tools do you think he's using to get in there? He's just like, oh. Or do you think, I guess they would probably be the cops. What are the cops using? Do the cops have like cleanup materials?
Oh, I'm sure they do. I'm 100, if I'm opening it, I'm 100%. just calling 911 and then leaving. Maybe I'd wait there for the cops, actually, but I just like, I'm out.
I don't think I'd wait around.
Yeah.
Yeah. You think they're taking a shot vac out, clean that up?
So disgusting.
That's a great question, actually. Okay. Justin, what should you pair this movie with?
Should pair this movie with... I have a couple things rolling around in my head. I feel like the best thing to pair this movie with is going to a fun club that uses neon lights and dancing to some music that sounds like this. I'm sure there's not many clubs that, especially in Indy, that can meet these requirements. Yeah. Just go to a fun lit place and vibe. It's got a vibe with your friends.
I think I'd rather kind of sit and talk in that area. I don't think I'd dance.
Yeah, you don't have to dance, but just go to a vibey place that matches the vibes.
I don't know how you would dance to a lot of this music. It's very slow.
Yeah, I guess you wouldn't dance to this music specifically, but just try to find a place that fits the vibes as much as possible. And I feel like a nightclub would be the closest thing you could find.
For sure. For sure. I have a lot of things, actually, that you should pair this with. So I have a Getaway Drivers Through the Ages triple feature.
Oh, I know this.
So start with an amuse-bouche and watch only the car chase of Bullet. So the movie Bullet from the 60s with Steve McQueen, he's not a getaway driver, and it's honestly not a movie that I love, but there is a car chase in it that is just amazing. So start with Bullet as your amuse-bouche, then go chronological. Watch The Driver. All right, Walter Hill's The Driver from, I think, 78? I want to say 78. It's from the 70s. Drive, and then Baby Driver. All three movies with getaway drivers that have practical driving in it and have some amazing chase sequences. And then I would also say, pair this with some synth music and a night drive. I'm going to give some bands here and artists, some of which are in this movie, some of which are not. So Electric Youth, Desire, Kavinsky, all three of those are in the movie. Black Marble, Morabeza Tobacco, Computer Magic, now going by the moniker of Dan's CM, Sellers, Imperial Topaz, Sally Shapiro, Brother Tiger, and Cliff Martinez scores. All of those things, just put those on, do a little night driving. And then the other two things, staring at your beloved wordlessly and stabbing someone in the chest with a shower curtain rod.
Find a place where you can do that. Pretty easy.
That is what you should pair this movie with.
I'm really surprised you didn't mention the movie Thief.
Oh, I mean, you could also pair it with Thief.
I feel like this is a good pairing.
I'm glad you said that. Thief is a very good pairing with
this
movie.
I wrote that down. I said, this is so Thief-coded.
They're almost two sides of the same coin in the sense of first of all, on a very superficial level, both movie posters are in like weird vapor cursive.
Yeah.
Drives is bright pink.
They look
and
slick.
Thief is this blue. Like sometimes I've seen it in a few ways. I've seen it a darker blue, but I've also seen like this bright cyan color. They're both criminals. They do different kinds of crime. They're both thieves in some way. And then they're both professionals. But then Driver is like the silent kind of guy, whereas James Caan's Frank is just like a loose cannon and crazy.
Babbling on.
Yep. They are both trying to like actually carve out this life for themselves that they want and be better humans and love people to various rates of success. Yeah, I would absolutely
say.
And
then in the end, they're not so successful and have to live their own life alone or not with the people they want to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. Oh, I can't wait to talk about Thief.
Yeah, that's going to be a good one.
Yeah. Also, this is not an episode about Thief, but Abby, my sister Abby, I was like, Abby, you got to watch Thief. And her and her boyfriend watched it, and she was like, Nick, that movie was bad. Like, I did not like that movie. I was like, how do you watch Thief and not, like, how can you have the take that this is boring or bad? I don't even know.
The first time I watched it, I liked it. I was kind of like, that's interesting. And then the second time, I was like, oh, I got it. This movie's great.
Oh, yeah. All right, Justin. You got anything else before Quote Tennis?
Is there anything on a spiritual, it doesn't have to be spiritual, but like on a deep level that is maybe not inherently spoken to in this movie that speaks to you, that you're like, oh, this hits me in this way that I really resonate with?
something that I thought about this time, and it is actually spiritual on some level, is like something with my faith that I look forward to is like an end of violence, and which is interesting because I like a lot of very violent movies, but real world violence, not good. Lots of awful violence going on. And I think that something in this movie that is really beautiful is I think that like Driver is striving for and into violence, I think, in his own life, but then also the threat of violence to the people that he loves. And he does a lot of violent things as he's pulling himself out of there, as he's mm-hmm. living in this, to him, very real underworld of criminality and all of this stuff. But I think it's interesting. Someone pointed this out to me when, like, the first time they watched this movie, and I was like, how did I not notice this? So the violence in this movie is obviously super bloody and sometimes very gory. But the final act where he and Bernie are fighting and they're like stabbing each other, you don't really see any blood. You see it in silhouette mostly with the sun. And then he's just sitting in his car with this like golden sun and this beautiful synth score. And then he just drives into the night, and it's like there's this chapter that's closed where I think, and who knows, he may have some violence in his future, but Irene and Benicio probably don't. And I think that this idea of striving to go beyond the broken, violent stuff of everyday life, and I mean that in a very like, even just like living life and participating in our economy is like, there's so much violence that that's predicated on every day. So like violence in a very real way is part of our everyday life, regardless of who you are and where you are, in some ways, in way more proximally close and threatening ways. But yeah, I would say that's something that's sure. just like, I don't know, maybe I'm reading a little too much into it, but
I don't think so entirely. Yeah. I do think that he is into violence, clearly. And then like paragraph break, also is like Batman in the sense that he doesn't want to hurt people and he wants to protect good people that are in his life.
Yeah.
And good people, I think, in general.
Yeah.
You don't know how he got into this life, but yeah, that whole violence thing is interesting. And there is like only so much you can do in the situation that he's in where it's like, well, you kind of have to use violence to get out of the situation you're in.
Yeah. These sometimes you just got to put a curtain rod through a guy's heart.
Yeah.
It just happens.
It's the only option. Like, oh, I didn't want to do this, but I have to do this.
I think he might want to do it a little bit.
Maybe a little bit.
When it's just like blood all over his face, I was like, you look like you're enjoying this. Just a little.
I feel like this movie really, this time when I watched it, it really spoke to me how when he's in the elevator and that guy is clearly bad after he kisses Irene, he really goes ham because I feel like he's like, you are not touching these people.
Yep.
This is like not happening.
Yep. And I love the shot when she steps out of the elevator and she's looking at him and he's like turning over his shoulder, looking at her. His hair is just a little messed up and his hair doesn't get messed up at all in this movie. But after he just stomps that guy and he looks like an actual just beastly monster because you just saw him do this, and then she's just like staring at him like, what the heck? And it's like, you are seeing something like, this is me.
Yeah, that was like animalistic.
There's no escaping. I am a beast.
Yeah.
Like, and it is I don't know, I love it. Also just like the ability of love to change a person, of like, if he did not meet Irene and Benicio, he'd still be driving, doing whatever.
Working on engines in his apartment.
Sitting sadly in his weird bare apartment, staring at the wall.
Yeah.
Yeah. Listening to Under Your Spell. all right. Quote tennis?
Yeah.
Start us off.
All right. Let's kick off in tennis. I was going to call the cops. I wish you would.
My hands are a little dirty. So are mine.
You know the story about the scorpion and the frog? Your friend Nino didn't make it across the river.
Yes. A lot of guys mess around with married women, but you're the only one I know who robs a joint just to pay back the husband. Crazy.
How about this? You shut your mouth or I'll kick your teeth down your throat and I'll shut it for you.
I used to produce movies in the 80s, kind of like action films. Sexy stuff. One critic called them European. I thought they were shit.
Fuck that shit. I paid $300 for something. I want everybody to fucking see it.
My partner is a belligerent asshole with his back up against a wall, and now so am I.
He wouldn't be able to find pussy in a whorehouse.
I'll see you in 5 minutes. I'll see you in 4.
What'd you do with the cash? Because I keep it safe for you.
You look like you're hard to work with.
That is it for me. I'm out of quotes.
I have, is he a bad guy? Yeah. How can you tell? Because he's a shark. There's no good sharks? Where's the deluxe version?
Yeah.
And then finally, a real human being and a real hero. Also, do you know what that song's about?
Yeah, he told me this when we watched it the first or the second time.
Uh-huh.
And that is just, the more I think, like, every time I think about it, I'm just like, wait, what? Why? This is really funny to me,
yeah,
in a way. Uh-huh. Like, you felt the need to write this song about that person.
About, I mean, Sully Sullenberger?
Yeah, I mean, go him.
159 people aboard.
Yep.
All safe and all rescued from a slowly sinking ship.
That is so true.
That is so true.
That line hits at the end, like towards the very end of the movie when he's leaving his apartment. And I don't know what it just does something to me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I can't. Yeah.
That's it?
There's no Crossroads Corner, unfortunately. I don't think there's an Indiana element of this movie at all.
Probably not. Yeah, definitely not.
Yeah. All right. Well.
Well, thanks for listening, everyone, to Show Me the Movies and our discussion on Drive. Email us at themoviesshowme@gmail.com with any questions or comments. And remember to follow us on Instagram. We'll see you next time.
And always remember, I drive.